Dominic Capote, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And it is a pre-Colts Friday. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts, the first division game for the Tennessee Titans. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
I caused quite a ruckus today on the radio in Indianapolis, which, I mean, we'll get into that at some point today, but I didn't feel like I said anything that bad. You listened to it. Did I say anything bad?
Nothing too crazy.
Okay, but we'll get into that because I want to start on the game on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know, I have come on the air a couple of times this year and told you that I've agonized about what the Titans are going to do. But I am 0-4 this season when it comes to picking the Titans to win or lose. I mean, we are approaching 2019 Floyd Reese territory where Floyd turned into like a crybaby on the pregame show because he kept getting them wrong. So then he would just pick the other team 41-40 or something like that every week. And he used to drive me crazy. It's like, it's okay that you're wrong, Floyd. But I want to start with this, which is I have no way, you know, going into these games, I clearly have not had a good feeling, or I should say the correct feeling, right? I thought they were going to beat the Saints, and then they didn't. They played a horrible game against the Saints. They lost by 1 point, but man, did they play a horrible game, and I wasn't expecting that. Then I thought the Chargers, who had thrown the ball for 9 trillion yards against the Dolphins, were going to come in here, and I thought the Titans defense would do okay, but I, you know, the Titans offensive line and the way the offense played that first game didn't give me any good feeling for the second game, and so I thought, you know, Chargers probably win that one. It'll be close. I picked a 2-point game. It ended up being a 3-point game in overtime. Then I thought the Titans were going to beat the Browns, and obviously we know how that went. And then last week, in this exact segment, 2 o'clock on the Fireball Hot Take Friday before the Bengals, I was telling everybody, look, I mean, the Bengals have Joe Burrow, and he has never lost to you, and you cannot block anybody. And, you know, what do we know? Titans go out there, and they blow out the Bengals. So I'm not telling you what's going to happen on Sunday because I don't know. I mean, it's obvious that I don't know what's going to happen. Because if I did, then I would have gotten one of these along the way right. But I'm going to tell you what should happen on Sunday for the Titans. If I were to ask you, are the Titans a good team? What would the answer be? I don't think right now you can argue that the Titans are a good team. But the season is long. And traditionally, not last year because of the injuries and all the craziness that happened, but traditionally, under Vrabel, the Titans get better over the course of the year. So right now, the Titans have shown us signs that they could be a good team. They do too many dumb things. But I certainly wouldn't rule it out that this team still turns in a 10-11 win season because with Vrabel, they get better and they start stacking them up. And, you know, their schedule the back half of the year is a lot of Atlanta and Pittsburgh and Jacksonville and Houston. And there's not a lot of great team. Carolina's 0-4. Like, there's just not a lot of great teams on the back end of the schedule. So they could be a good team. But I don't know if they're a good team. And I don't know if they're going to be a good team. But if you are going to be a good team, if you are going to win this division, you're going to win on Sunday. Sunday isn't just a game. Right. When you lost to the Saints, yeah, it had a little bit more weight to it because it was the opener, but it was a road NFC game. Chances are nothing is really going to be decided simply because you lost the Saints game. It sucked losing. I hated it just as much as you did, but it wasn't the end of the world that they lost that game. They win an AFC game. They lose an AFC game. They win an AFC game. And AFC games have more weight than NFC games for tie-breaking purposes. But they're a 2-2 with no big dent one way or another. Well, Sunday, that's over. This is a divisional game. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the Colts are not a good team. I've watched the Colts tape. I know what's on the Colts roster. I know the difference between who actually is good on the Colts, like Zaire Franklin, who is a very good player on the Colts, and who is not good on the Colts, like Shaquille Leonard or DeForest Buckner, who's playing on a pitch count, and I haven't even noticed one time this year. I know the difference between who's good and who's bad. So I know what the Colts have. And the Colts just aren't very good. And I said it this morning on Robbie and Joe, the Colts are probably a 6 or 7 win football team. Anthony Richardson is going to make enough wow plays over the course of the year, and they're going to play enough bad teams because their schedule is a lot like yours. They get to play Arizona just like you get, or they get to play the NFC South just like you do. So they get to play Carolina and Atlanta and all those teams. And they get to play Cincinnati, who right now is not very good. And they get to play pretty much every team that you get to play for the most part. Except for you have to play the Dolphins and they don't. So I know what Indy is. Indy is a soft team that has decent coaching. Shane Steichen is putting an offense in place that we saw work for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. They certainly don't have the pieces yet. And Anthony Richardson is not there as a passer for them to really be flying in the offense the way they want to do it. Their defense is soft. It's the same defense they've had for years. That Gus Bradley, soft shell, don't get beat deep, give up a bunch of yards, you know, try to hold tough in the red zone, try to get an interception. Like, that's what the Colts defense is. Derrick Henry ought to be able just to run the ball 4-6-2-4-1-6-8-2-13-4. Like, that's how they should be able to run the ball in Indianapolis. Indianapolis's offensive line's not very good. And they've got guys in the concussion protocol. Ryan Kelly, I think, is going to be out of it. But Bernard Raymond, their starting tackle, he's in it. And Quentin Nelson's not that good anymore. As much hype as he got when he came out, he might be the best guard ever. He's really not that good anymore. And Anthony Richardson, in spite of the fact that he can make Superman-like plays when running the ball, he is, when he sticks it down and runs, he turns into Derrick Henry. But when he's not, he right now is a rookie quarterback who looks like a rookie quarterback, who is accurate like a rookie quarterback, who makes mistakes like a rookie quarterback, who turns over the ball like a rookie quarterback. But Indianapolis, no matter what they say, everybody says they're trying to compete every year. Indy didn't go into this season thinking they were going to compete for this division. You did. This is a veteran team. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard, DeAndre Hopkins. You have veteran players on your team to win right now. And so if you're going to do that, you're going to have to win this game. I'm not saying you're going to win every game, and every year there are games on the schedule that pop up that your team probably has no business losing, that somehow, some way, whether it's an injury, whether it's a bad performance, whether it's just a bad day at the office over a 17-game season, look, it happens, okay? The 2000 Titans, the best team I've ever seen, lost to a bad Jacksonville team on the road. But the Titans have to be playing for some seriousness here. The Titans have to be playing for what we all think that they're capable of doing. I'm not saying the season's over if they lose on Sunday, but it's going to be hard for me to take this team seriously if they don't. How can I take you seriously when you go on the road? There's 6 of these a year. 6 of these divisional games. You are the better team. You have the more experienced quarterback. You have the better defense. You have the better defensive line. You have the better running back. Shockingly, and I don't think that we're going to be able to say this too many more times this year, you have the better receivers. Like, this is a game that a division-winning team goes in and wins. And the games like the Saints game or the Browns game, those toss-up games, the Ravens next week in London, you can lose that game and still be a good team, because good teams lose to the Ravens. You can lose a game that's on the schedule this year that you probably should win, but it just wasn't your day. But not division games. Not the first division game. Not a division game against a team that you're better than. Not a division game where their team is hurt and your team is rolling off of what they did last week. And I understand this is a week-to-week league, and if there was ever any example of that, it was the way the Titans played last week after getting embarrassed and everybody talking bad about them after the Browns game and the way they played in the Bengals game. And how they played in the Bengals game should mean nothing as far as the Colts game. But for good teams and veteran teams that find their stride, that get better over the course of the year, they do build on momentum. And so it'd be nice to see the Titans offensive line block the way they blocked last week. It would be nice to see the Titans continue to not give up the big play the way they didn't give up the big play last week. And it would be nice to see the Titans go out there with a better roster, a more experienced roster, a coach who everybody across the country bloviates about all the time, and just take care of business on Sunday. Is that too much to ask for? Now, again, there's a difference between what's going to happen Sunday and what should happen Sunday. I can't tell you what's going to happen Sunday. I've been wrong 4 Sundays so far this year, but I can tell you what should happen. They should go to Indianapolis on Sunday and win. This should not be a sweating bullets game. This should not be a performance afterwards that we have to discuss with, well, you know, it's a week-to-week league and they just, you know, need to flush this one and focus on the Ravens. It's very possible that that is the narrative after the game, but that's not what it should be for a good team. Kansas City does not go on the road and lose to the Raiders. You shouldn't lose this one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. That's how we're starting today. We're going to get you involved early and often today. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Plus, I didn't feel this way about the Saints game. I didn't feel this way about the Charger game, the Browns game, or the Bengals game. But there is one thing that I do feel that I'm going to say, okay, it's time now for people I've defended. It's time now to keep it real before the Colts game. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 6 of the college football season and week 5 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
They're big games, right? And obviously games, you want to win them all. But the division games, you know, have a little bit more in them. And obviously, good team, right? You look at Indianapolis, they've been good over the past several years. They played us tough just about every time we've played them. So we know we're going to have to be on top of our game and play for 4 quarters.
There you go. That was Tannehill. By the way, I mean, seriously, Ryan, you know, hey, they've played us tough over the years. Have they? Like, have these Titan-Colts games? The Titans have won 5 straight against Indianapolis. I want to say Tannehill lost one of those. And that was that crazy Thursday night football game where A.J. Brown dropped the touchdown. Jadeveon Clowney like had a sack on 4th down and he didn't sack the guy. The Titans got one punt shanked that led to an Indy touchdown, and they got another one blocked that was recovered in the end zone for an Indy touchdown. And Steven Goskowski missed a kick. Other than that, and then the Titans went to Indy 2 weeks later, and DeNico Autry and DeForest Buckner and Jonathan Taylor all had COVID, and because they all had COVID, the Titans ended up blowing them out. Like, Derek, I think, ran for something like 150 in the first half. So that wasn't all that difficult. Last year at home, did they have to hold on to their tushies to win the game at home, or did they win that one going away? I know that they got up big last year at Indianapolis and then had to hold on to the rear ends at the end and that whole, like, you know, they could score 20 points in the first half, score 0 points in the second half thing.
I mean, Matt Ryan wasn't really much of a threat, I don't think, that game, from what I understand.
No, he threw a pick six.
Yeah, so.
So, come on, Ryan. Like, you know, let's keep it real around here. Like, yeah, oh yeah, they've played us real tough. Now, I didn't say this before the Saints game. I didn't say this before the Browns game. I didn't say this before the Charger game. And I didn't say this before last week. This is the game where Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill need to win you the game. Where, you know, again, now, if they do crazy things like they did against the Browns, where they had the quarterback sacked and they just let him go, or they just let wide receivers run right by them for touchdowns like they did in the Cleveland game, then, you know, that's really not Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's fault. But for the most part, I think the Titans should be reliant on those two, especially the way that the Indianapolis Colts play defense. The Indianapolis Colts will give you first down after first down after first down in order to keep you from getting the big play on them. But they're hopeful that at some point during that time, you're going to turn the football over. Well, who are the two guys that have the football the most on the Titans that would turn it over? Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. And then who are the two guys who, again, against a team in Indy that doesn't score a whole lot of points? Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are the guys that need to keep moving the chains and creating the offense. And I mean, right now, Tannehill's got three receivers that when he throws them the ball, they catch it. In Moore, Westbrook, Akine, and Hopkins. Although Hopkins didn't catch the one the other day. But for the most part, they catch the ball. And then when it comes to Henry, like the Colts' defensive line's not very good. Right? I know DeForest Buckner makes the most money. Right now, he's on a pitch count, but he's not the same guy anymore. Grover Stewart is their best defensive lineman, and Zaire Franklin is a linebacker who's going to make a bunch of tackles on Sunday. But outside of that, the rest of those guys on their defensive front, Shaq Leonard has never recovered from that back surgery. Kwity Paye has a concussion, and he stinks. Like, the Titans should be able to move the ball effectively. Now, does that mean that they're going to score 15 touchdowns on Sunday? Probably not. But when you have veteran guys that you should be able to trust, and I think that for the most part, in terms of not doing dumb things that hurt the team, Tannehill and Henry, we both trust. It's like the Colts don't have anything about them defensively that should scare anybody. They're not a good defense. They're 29th in the league in total defense. They're 22nd in points allowed, which, again, goes back to the fact that they'll let you get yards. They just are going to keep you out of the end zone, and then they're going to try to bow up inside the red zone, or they're going to try to turn you over, which is why they're 8th in the league in forcing turnovers. They've forced 6 so far this season, so don't turn it over. They're 27th in first downs allowed. They're 28th in passing defense. They're 22nd in rushing defense. Like, they're bad, folks. That defense is bad. That defense is soft. That defense is bad. And the only way that they win on defense is by you turning the football over, or like the Texans and the Rams to a certain extent, who did end up beating them, they force you into kicking field goals and you miss them. And while I was tough on the kicker when they traded for him, I feel good about my kicker on Sunday. Knock on wood. But I feel good about my kicker. So again, like, don't turn the ball over. And those are the two guys that you touch it the most. And you're probably going to win the game on Sunday. So this is the first game of the year that, just knowing, like, when they play the Ravens, even if Tannehill and Henry have a good game, like, there's a chance Lamar Jackson wins the game for them. And you can't put it on Tannehill and Henry. This one, put it on Tannehill and Henry. The Colts are not a good team. I know everybody's 2-2. I don't think any of the three teams ahead of you are very good. I think the Texans are the best team. Outside of, you know, I'm not counting you, because I know the Titans, like, too well, that it's not fair to compare them to the level of what I know about Indy, Jacksonville, and Houston just from watching their games, but not knowing everything about them and following them in training camp at practices and things like that. Houston's the best team, and Indy and Jacksonville are kind of fighting there for the third spot. And right now I'd lean towards Jacksonville for it, because they've been that atrocious. But Indy's not a good football team. Let's go to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. LD from McMinnville is going to start us off on a Fireball Hot Take Friday and says, you are really talking yourself into a serious letdown when the Titans lose to the Colts. Let me say this about the Titans losing to the Colts on Sunday. I think it's very much a possibility they could lose to the Colts on Sunday. Ian, would you say it's very much a possibility the Titans could lose to the Colts on Sunday?
Absolutely.
It's the Titans. Like, we've lived this life. We know what the Titans do. It doesn't matter what I say on the radio in terms of the letdown. If they lose on Sunday, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed. This is a team that you should beat. And it's a team you should beat with which, like, there's serious weight to this, right? You're not 4-0. Where you're 4-0, you have a bad game, okay, 4-1, we can live with it. You're 2-2. And I always say September football's weird, and the first month of the season, teams are finding themselves, and the bad teams don't know that they're bad, and some of the good teams haven't really blossomed yet. Well, it's not September anymore, folks. Like, September football's over. So you can't lose to the Scarbinis. And that's what the Colts are. The Colts are going to win 6 or 7 games, and some of that is because the teams they play are terrible. So, yeah, I mean, you talk about setting myself up for a big letdown if they lose. I mean, I'm not saying they can't. I totally think it's on the table that they can lose, but I'm going to be disappointed if they lose, and you should be disappointed if they lose. Like, if they lose this game to this run-of-the-mill team with a rookie quarterback, you know what this team is, Ian?
Uh-oh, what's this? What you going here?
They're a Punch and Judy team.
Uh-oh.
With a very talented quarterback.
I'm worried Richardson's going to win the game for them. I'm already worried about that. I have a bad feeling he's going to start running the ball, and the Titans are going to be lost in some type of, I don't know. I have some bad feelings about this.
Well, I went on Indy Radio today, and I was like, you know, the thing about the Titans is they give up too many big plays. And that, I think, to your point, like, we can see Anthony Richardson breaking a big play, right?
For sure, multiple, like, big plays, and just taking over with his legs at times. And then it gets into momentum, and then, yeah.
That's how they beat the Texans, was Richardson had two big Superman runs. And that was, you know, again, you get down 14 points, like, you should be able to come back against this team. But it might not be likely. Like, it's going to be, you know, you're not built from coming from behind. Like, you're just not built to come from behind. But you talk about a letdown with the Titans. You bet your tush I'm going to be disappointed if they lose on Sunday. And so should everybody else. Texter says, last season, 18 teams finished the season with a record between 7 and 10 wins. This is where the Titans will land this season. Smack dab in the middle of mediocrity. Not good enough to feel proud of the season and not bad enough to earn a good draft position. Well, like, how about we play the games on Sunday and then see what happens before just writing off the season? Like, to your point, you lose on Sunday, the 7-8 win, like, that is probably... Yeah, that is probably what you are if you don't get any better. You win on Sunday? I mean, again, I did the math yesterday, right? Because we've talked about 3-3. That we want the Titans to be 3-3 going into the bye, knowing that the schedule is softer on the back end. If you take out the Colts, one game, and you take out the Ravens after the bye, the teams the Titans are going to play have a combined record of 21-19. That is practically a .500 schedule. Well, if you're a good team, then you should be better than the .500 teams. And if you're a bad team, you'll be worse than the .500 teams. Like, if you're Chicago, and if you're an average .500-esque team, then you'll go 500 against the .500 teams, and you'll be 8-9 or 9-8. You see what I'm saying? 615-737-1025. More your phone, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in here on the program today, we'll get back into your phones. Plus, I mean, Sometimes the Colts just can't help themselves. We'll get to that next here on Stillman and Company. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. You know, I use Hiller at my home, and it is starting to get cooler. In fact, I going to Louisville this weekend for the Louisville-Notre Dame game. I'm looking at the temperature for the game tomorrow night. It's going to be in the 40s. So it's going to be getting cooler around here. So if you've got some things around your home that you've been putting off for fixing, like your regular HVAC maintenance or a clogged bathroom drain, Hiller has some big discounts for you this month. When the temperature drops and you start using your heater for the first time, you do not want to be dealing with breakdowns and issues. This month, Hiller is offering half off HVAC tune-ups. And Hiller is bringing back their $99 drain cleaning special. For just $99, Hiller will get you back up and running. These deals only last this month, so be sure to call now. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy Old Beer Services free guarantee, and I know that. And you don't just have to call. You don't need to call, don't have to call, you don't get to do any of that. Hiller offers convenient, quick online booking, so select the appointment time that works for you and get an instant confirmation. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. That's Hiller. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Titans have won 5 in a row. They've won 6 out of the last 7. What's the conversation in Indy like with this team and this group here?
Well, EJ Speed, the linebacker, had some interesting things to say yesterday. I tweeted a bunch of that stuff out just to get the fans riled up. He was asked, hey, do you all have to psych yourselves up to play the physical Titans and Derrick Henry wicked style of play? And he said, no, they got to psych themselves up to play us. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then this is the one that it could be like great material, but it could be terrible if it comes back to bite you. He was asked about tackling Derrick Henry and if you have to do it differently. And he said, tackling is tackling. You always tackle low. It's no different with Derrick Henry. He got a good stiff arm, but I ain't never been caught with it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, if you get caught with it on Sunday, that'll be quite the material to use against you.
There you go. That was James Boyd, who covers the Colts for The Athletic on Robbie and Rex Road. And it's like, do you have to do anything different when you're playing Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry? And I got to tell you, like, it's so embarrassing what the Colts have become, right? Like, if you go in the Titans locker room, and I'm not saying that the Titans are the best organization in the history of the NFL, but could you imagine if a Titan player said, yeah, you know what? We don't need to get hyped up for the Colts. The Colts need to get hyped up for us. And that Anthony Richardson, he's just some rookie quarterback. We're not worried about him. Vrabel would rip that guy's ass. Like, he would... The Colts, ever since Peyton Manning left and Tony Dungy left and Bill Polian left and, the monarchs of sanity left the organization. It's like one bozo after another rolls through Indy and nothing changes. They have Hard Knocks on TV and they lose in the most disappointing fashion ever to miss the playoffs 2 years ago. And Frank Reich is giving a speech to the team about how we're all winners. It's like, ugh. And so, again, like, I'm not a Colts fan. What do I care? But it's just so embarrassing. Like, you're going to sit there. Who's EJ Speed? We're talking about Derrick Henry here. Unbelievable. So Derrick Henry was asked about those comments yesterday. And I got to tell you, I found Derek's response to be very fascinating.
Some of the talk out of that locker room is they don't have to get themselves hyped up to play you guys. They feel like you guys have to get yourselves hyped up to play them. Well, what do you make of those comments?
That's how they feel. I mean, we still got a lot of them to go play. I mean, that's how they feel. That's how they feel. I guess we'll see on Sunday.
Oh, we'll see on Sunday. You know, Derrick Henry makes those press conferences as boring as possible, and I think he does it on purpose. You know, the only interesting commentary that comes from Derrick Henry is either after games when he's talking about other players or when he's on Taylor Lewan's bus. Other than that, Derrick Henry goes out of his way to be incredibly boring. Even the way that he talks about the good things, it's like he puts his head down and just, very monotone. Oh, yeah, And last week, he's talking about the Bengals game. And he was asked about, do you have some extra motivation after what happened last week against the Browns? And I heard that, and I'm like, oh, here he goes. And he's like, yeah, you know, I always have motivation in these games. I'm like, see, there you go. And then he goes, but after last week, I definitely have some extra motivation. I was like, oh, let's see what that means. And it looked like he ran on Sunday with that quote unquote extra motivation. When Derrick Henry says, we'll see on Sunday, I got some Michael Jordan, I take that personal vibes from Derrick Henry. And as far as this game is concerned, given the players that are in it, Derrick Henry is the Michael Jordan on the field on Sunday. And I feel like Derrick at the podium is going to say, we'll see on Sunday. You know, they can say whatever they want, but all that matters is what happens when we line up on Sunday and we'll see. But I heard the Michael Jordan from The Last Dance with the cigar in his mouth when I hear Derrick Henry say, we'll see on Sunday.
And see if all that trash talking starts when it's 0-0 instead of 5-6 point lead. That's where it starts. That's the sign of a good man. If you can talk when it's even score or talk behind score, when you're ahead, it's easy to talk.
I mean, it's like, hey, we'll see you on Sunday when they're handing the ball if we're going to be talking that same old talk. And don't think that the Titans don't take note of these things. And I think Vrabel's the kind of coach who kind of hammers them home. Chase texts in and says, I hear you, Jared, about the Colts, but how are they 2-2? So I think we have to remember that September football can be incredibly deceiving sometimes. They beat the Texans because Anthony Richardson made two Superman-like runs early in that football game. And I think the Texans were still kind of finding themselves a little bit. I still think the Texans are finding themselves now. But I think the Texans are a better team now because of that game. And then once Richardson had broken the two Superman runs, Gardner Minshew came in and did a good job of playing safe football. And then after Minshew played safe football, Kyemi Fairbairn, you know, missed a kick or two for the Texans. And, you know, that was okay. The Ravens game was a fluke. At one point, the Ravens had a 7-0 lead with 198 total yards to Indy's 5. Gardner Minshew throws, you know, just off of his back foot with a zero blitz in his face, just pops up the most beautiful ball in the world for a touchdown pass. And then the Ravens just never got on track. And then in overtime, well, first of all, Justin Tucker missed a game-winning kick, and he missed it short, which almost never happens. Their kicker, who missed a chip shot last week against the Rams, he went out there and he missed a kick, or he made like 5 kicks from 50. And he's an average kicker, Matt Gay, who used to kick for the Rams. And then in the Ravens game, the Ravens got totally jobbed on a fourth down where they went for it, where they probably should have punted because a tie is not bad. But, yeah, I mean, that Ravens game was a total fluke. Oh, Michael and Madison says Shaq Leonard has been ruled out. What's wrong with Shaq Leonard?
I want to say it was, I don't know, some type of tissue. I want to say it was groin, but I can't quite remember. I didn't see the full injury list for them. I saw the Titans' 3 players that were out, but...
Who's out for the Titans?
Treylon Burks, Luke Gifford, okay, and the one you're not going to like, T.R. Tart.
Skoronski. Oh, no! You're right, I'm not going to like that. A texter says we, so I'm thinking that this is a Colt fan. We're not very good, says the Colt fan. You're still a sore loser because we drafted Richardson and you wanted him so badly. Why would that make me a sore loser? Like, I wanted Anthony Richardson. I told you how great Anthony Richardson was. So now I'm going to not tell you Anthony Richardson. I love Anthony Richardson. I loved Anthony Richardson the whole time. I'm the only person in the world who thought the Colts were going to draft Anthony Richardson because every single reporter at ESPN was reporting how much the Colts liked Will Levis. And I'm like, you know, when a reporter who is just desperate for news is so brazen that they're all going on TV and they're all repeating the same thing, they're all getting that from the Colts. Well, why would the Colts be telling everybody that they liked Will Levis? Because they liked Anthony Richardson. They didn't want anybody to know. That's why. I love Anthony Richardson. But, I mean, the Colts are, right now, the Colts are not a good team. And it's okay to admit the Colts are not good. You weren't good last year, and you drafted a quarterback who's not ready. So you think you're going to be good this year? Get over it. Texter said, I won't be disappointed if the Titans lose because I don't think they're a good team. It's two average teams playing. I don't think the Colts are average. I think the Colts are just, you know, again, quite frankly, I just don't think the Colts are very good. And what I feel like in terms of like the Titans being average is I feel like everybody has kind of like a different, I don't want to say level of expectation, but I think about the Titans being able to get to the divisional round of the playoffs and then let's see what happens. Or even the wild card round and let's see what happens. Titans had a good team in 2020 and they lost the wild card round. Titans had a good team in 2021. And they lost in the divisional round. So you can have a good team and you can lose there. So I think about getting to the wild card round or the division round of the playoffs and then, like, let's see. Because I think you can beat some of these teams. But to me, that's not average. That's above average. So that's what my expectation is. The Colts are not going to sniff the playoffs this year, folks. Like, it's just not going to happen. So you shouldn't say, well, you know, we're average, we're not very good, we're average, we're... And it's like the difference between being good in the NFL and being a 9-win team is like three plays. Let's say the Titans end up being a 9-8 team. They're one play, Tannehill to Chigakonkwo in the Saints game, away from being 10-7. And my guess is, they're going to lose more games this season that are like that than are like the Browns game, where it's just a total blowout and one play doesn't change it here or there. There are going to be more games like that. So you're two plays away from, now you're 9-8. You think you're average. You're not happy with your team. And you're two plays away from being an 11-win team. So I have not decided what the Titans are or aren't yet. So to say, well, they're just average. Well, if, you know, they should beat these teams and then they'll not be average. Look at their schedule. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're back to your phones on the Colts game. And it is amazing to me, this rivalry with the Colts and how it went from just an unbelievable amount of pain on a bi-yearly basis to, it's the Colts. Tune into 102.5, 106.3, the game tomorrow for Vandy football. The Commodores will kick off at 3 o'clock on the road against Florida with pregame starting at 1:30. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. And be sure to tune into 94.9 The Fan tomorrow at 2:30 for the college football game of the week as Alabama takes on Texas A&M presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer.
We've seen some really strong play from Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback. Really fun to see in his three starts. What have you liked so far out of him?
Man, you grazed that one. I got to give you love in the draft. I got to give you love.
Hey, look, go now.
And it kind of ties into what we said. Remember when we had that conversation about how your athleticism can buy you time?
Totally.
How you learning how to play the position. And when you look at Anthony play, a comfortability level comes because he can get out of trouble. Mm. Right? There was a couple times where Aaron Donald beat the edge or dunked underneath. And he was able to sidestep and either continue to play or go out and be an athlete. What I love, though, is that he's not indecisive. And for a rookie quarterback, and that I'm not talking about getting the ball out of your hands. He is taking off when it's time to take off and just go get some yards. That understanding early in your career is a big deal. I love the way he's playing.
Hey, no, Marcus Spears talking about Anthony Richardson. Will from Nashville texts in and says, Jared, I don't think it's too early to give you credit for your Richardson call that he was your favorite of the quarterbacks. I went to Vandy years ago, and I'm a season ticket holder, and I went to that Florida game and follow SEC football closely. He was so raw. Yes, it's early, but he looks very promising, I have to say, and you called it. Let me say this. As much as I would like to take a victory lap when it comes to just how much I loved Anthony Richardson, and I did. Boy, I freaking loved Anthony Richardson in the draft. I would have taken him number one. and I wanted the Titans to trade everything to move to three to get Richardson. I did. And then I would have gone to the podium and I would have said, Ryan Tannehill is our starting quarterback. People probably wouldn't have liked that, but that's what I would have said. And I would have meant it. And Tannehill would be the starter and Richardson be on the bench. It's way too early on any of these quarterbacks to say anything. Remember, which rookie quarterback in their first start had the greatest game in the history of rookie quarterbacks? The answer is Mariota. We thought after year one that Mariota was going to be a franchise quarterback. We knew after year two that Mariota was on the right path. And that's 2 years. That's 30 games. It's way too early on Richardson. It's way too early on Stroud. It's way too early to think a guy's going to be a star, and it's way too early to think the guy's going to be a bum. I mean, these things happen over the course of years. After year two, like when it comes to year two in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes was league MVP. Lamar Jackson was league MVP. And it was like, those guys are awesome. Those guys are going to be great. Those guys are can't-miss superstars. Those guys are the truth. Anybody remember Derek Carr after year two? Anybody remember Carson Wentz after year two? Carson Wentz was Mahomes the year before Mahomes. So it's too early. I mean, I remember Vince Young. Vince Young, and, you know, I don't want to relitigate, you know, the career of Vince Young. But I almost wonder if the Titans had, you know, put in an offensive system friendly to Vince and not had Norm Chow as their offensive coordinator, if Vince Young could have been special in the NFL because he had the raw talent that won them football games. But Vince Young was the man after his rookie year. And now people are like, how could Floyd Reese have drafted Vince Young? What a bust. And every time I'd ask Floyd about that, he'd say, when I was GM, Vince was rookie of the year and headed to the Pro Bowl. I don't know what happened after me, which I think was his way of saying, blame Jeff Fisher, not me. Texter into the text line talking about the Colts. Says you're waxing the Bengals victory, and that was also a fluke because Joe Burrow was undefeated against the Titans. Boy, I tell you, some of these listeners, and obviously this guy's a Colt fan, some of these listeners just hear what they want to hear, and sometimes I feel like they just want to be mad. We spent all week talking about how, boy, I tell you, it's a good thing Titan fans haven't gotten too carried away with the Cincinnati win. And it feels like Titan fans haven't gotten too carried away with the Cincinnati win because Joe Burrow was hurt last week. I mean, I got Ian over here scared to death of Anthony Richardson. Well, if we were going to get too far, if we were not grading on the curve for the fact that the Bengals clearly are not the Bengals right now, the way Joe Burrow's playing. If we were not grading on a curve and we just said before the season with no context that you were going to give up 3 points and blow out Cincinnati, we would have said, oh my God, what a great defensive performance. The problem is that we know the context of why they gave up 3 points to Cincinnati. So to act like, you know, oh, well, you're saying that this was a fluke and you're saying that that one wasn't like, I don't think any of us are sitting here saying that the Titans are a great team because they beat the Bengals. I think there's some hope that when the Titans do things correctly, that the Titans will be a good team. But as far as like the banking on that Bengals win and, oh, they're so good. No, I am not feeling that way. One texter says, I forgot Treylon Burks is on the team. Treylon Burks is out again. Okay, cool. Next, Manny in Clarksville says, when is it too soon to start calling Treylon Burks a bust? I think the question he's really asking is, when is it not too soon to call Treylon Burks a bust? I mean, I still think it's too soon to call him a bust, but right now things are not trending in the right direction. And the number one ability in the NFL is availability, and Treylon Burks has been hurt consistently throughout his career in the NFL. Probably the second most important thing for a wide receiver is to be able to catch the ball. And right now, Treylon Burks is struggling with that. And maybe I've made too much of the performance that Chris Moore has had so far this season with the big catches that he's had, you know, the deep shots that he's caught, or the encouragement that I have about Westbrook Akine and his performance against the Saints and his performance against the Bengals last week, and thinking like, okay, now they've got three guys between Hopkins and those two that have really carved out roles for themselves. And I can feel, if not excited about the receivers, because there's not kind of this big explosive game-changing element to it. There's not an AJ Brown to it, but more so just a comfort in the fact that I know what I'm getting at the receiver position. There's kind of the caveat beneath that, which is we really expected that Treylon Burks was going to be a part of this, and he's really not. And that they have invested a lot in Treylon Burks being a part of this, and Treylon Burks is really not. But I think it's still too soon. But I do wonder how many guys at the receiver position are just, you know, average with glimpses and then become superstars, because Corey Davis was average with glimpses, but AJ Brown had like a 70-yard catch in his first game. And I do wonder, you know, if we're not getting there when it comes to Burks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There's one big worry that I have. That, you know, the defense we've talked about from the Bengals game, that I'm not really taking anything from the Bengals game and applying it to the Colts game or anything going forward because of how hurt Joe Burrow was. But there was something the offense did on Sunday that would make everybody's life a lot easier if the Titans could just keep doing it. And yet I don't think, I'm nervous, I'm pessimistic that they will not be able to do this. And boy, Trevor Maddich, a glass half full guy, unloaded. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here, 1025, 1063 The Game. We're also going to be giving away Preds tickets for the home opener next hour. And let me tell all of you that you need to join. That's right. You need to join Robbie Stanley, Chris Sanders, and D Mace at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the award-winning pregame show. They'll break down the Titans week 5 matchup against the Colts. And our award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed.